go. Okay, I used to really get crazy with Pastor Keith when he set out like the scripture we were supposed to use on a Sunday, and I thought, my Lord, man, I spend the whole sermon reading scripture. There's not enough time to talk. And then I turn around and I do the same thing. So if anybody ever runs into Keith, don't tell him I said that. So first and foremost, pray with me. Father, open our hearts and minds today to your word. Lead us into your presence. Teach us life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm dabbling around in Hebrews because, you know, I'm one of those guys who gets stuck somewhere because I can handle it better. And so I'm hanging out in Hebrews. And so now we're in the fourth chapter, and I want to read you verses 1 through 11. Therefore, I'm coming out of the NIV with this. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had a good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Verse 4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. 7. God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So it's really, really a simple title, isn't it? Into his rest. You know, faithful members of Alcoholics Anonymous, they're willing to share how it works. You see, in this group, they're asked to give a lead, a testimony. And they start with where it all really began, what happened, and how it is today. This is all designed to inspire the hurting and the wounded, that there's a better way to live, a more fulfilling way to lead life. There's peace and tranquility to be found, even in the midst of turmoil. And we can't achieve this miracle on our own. We're brought to this pinnacle of peace and rest by the power, by the might, by the hand of a loving God. And without God, we'll fail every time we try. With God, we'll come to live a life we never thought was possible. Each time an AA member stands up and gives their message, they relive the horror and the unbelief of what was done and how it affected their family and those that love them. And unless you've been here, you'll never really grasp the magnitude of it all. So many come to listen to the courageous, willing to stand up in front of strangers and confess it, hoping that maybe one will get it and start to live. So many want what they just heard. Standing on the wrong side of the Jordan and looking into the promised land. And for now, most are unwilling to submit all. in order to enter in. You see, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to wake up in the morning faithfully and fully trusting in God, who brought you through the mess, who brought you through it all. And for those who've reached the other side, and for those who have found a hope and a peace and a rest that they never knew before, realize they wouldn't be who they are unless they endured this struggle. What gift? What grace? What power and strength? We all have a Jordan. What's your Jordan River? In verse 8 of today's scripture, for if Joshua would have given them rest, God wouldn't have to speak later about another day. The rest won by Joshua wasn't permanent. It wasn't forever and ever. You see, later down the road, David wouldn't have had to attempt to get the Israelites' attention in Psalm 95. Come on, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Show him how thankful you are. You see, this rest won by Joshua was only a foreshadowing of the rest to come. A rest that's awaiting those in the kingdom of God. And so let me take you back to verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest. His rest is bigger than the promised land in Canaan. So what's God's rest? What's in store for those who come to believe, for those who are willing by faith to overcome, trusting in God, willing to wade right down into that river? And this is written in red ink so you know who's doing the talking. In Revelation 2 and 7, to the overcomer I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life. You'll find it in the paradise of God. For he who has an ear, let him hear. In Revelation 2 and 11, the overcomer will not be hurt at all by the second death. In Revelation 2 and 17, to the overcomer, I'll give some of the hidden manna. And I'm going to give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Revelation 2 and 20, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And in Revelation 3 and 5, he who overcomes will be dressed in white. I'll never blot his name from the book of life. I'll acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. In Revelation 3 and 12, I'll make the overcomer a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I'll write on him the name of my God. And I'll write on him the name of the city of my God. And I'll write on him my new name. And in Revelation 3 and 21, to the overcomer, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So if you're looking for rest, look no further. Look to Jesus Christ. You see, at the end of creation, everything was absolutely taken care of from beginning to end. You see, God already knew that I'd be hanging out with Jeff Lucas today. On the seventh day, God rested, knowing that it was all good, that there was a place for everything, and everything was in its place. Lord, when am I going to find some true rest? There's none for the wicked. They'll never have everything in its place. Their work is never ending. They'll always be anxious, worried, and desperate about tomorrow. Every day just bleeds into the next. You see, God worked for 6 days. And if you think about it, he really got a lot done. His rest came after fulfilling a purpose. Jesus Christ came to fulfill a purpose. On the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." We have a purpose. To believe on Christ and to walk out a life serving him and resting on his promises. So what about this Sabbath thing? In John 5, Jesus healed the lame man. On the Sabbath, he does this. And he says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And it's then all the Jews told this newly healed man, hey, you're in trouble. You're not allowed to carry a mat on the Sabbath. They failed to see Jesus. They failed to understand what his miracle was all about. All they could see was the law. And Jesus tells them, my Father is always at work to this very day. And I too am working. So I ask, how can God rest and still be working? God through the Holy Spirit is working in this church right now on Sunday. He brought two bodies of believers together. We lift each other up in prayer. He's working on the piano keys through David's fingers. He's bringing you this message. I can't tell you what the rest of this journey is going to look like, but I can assure you that it's all in his mighty hands. So we should follow him, become like him, and do it on purpose. God created this wonderful world on purpose, and then he rests. He's given us a pattern to live by in our journey to become like him. He worked 6 days. And then he kicked back a day and enjoyed all his work. God didn't create life to be an aimless existence. The true goal in life lays beyond. For those in this world who choose not to believe in God, the creator of all things, will never experience a relationship with him. They will never know God's rest. They'll experience a never-ending drive in life leading to no real purpose. Everyone follows something, whether you believe it and admit it or not. Not to follow God allows us to live like he doesn't exist. Everything is acceptable in that world. We don't have to embrace the love of God and follow in his footsteps. And we will never overcome either. We'll remain trapped. This world might want the good things God offers, but just like the Israelites, who by God's mighty hand came up out of Egypt, all they had to do was paint the lamb's blood on their doorpost to be set free. But when it really counted, when it was their turn to show where they really stood in faith and how much they truly trusted God, they rebelled against him. They didn't trust him. The Bible says, they murmured against him. I understand that. I really hate it when my wife murmurs against me. So, they failed to trust him. And so, trust in his promises. They even yearned to go back to their bondage in Egypt. Do you know what it's really like to yearn for something? How do you enter in? Or moreover, how do you fail to enter in? By rebellion. By resisting God. Refusing to be obedient to God. All sin comes from rejection and rebellion. Everything God tried to bring them back failed. He warned them. He brought judgments on them. He caused his tender mercies to pass before them. And yet they rebelled. And never saw or experienced the promised land. And God made for us an example out of them. But what does Scripture say about them? There came a next generation. A generation that wasn't willing to waste any more life wandering in the wilderness. They chose to place their faith in God. They chose to take on the fight that laid ahead. They became a people with a purpose who chose to overcome. We might be considered the remnant, but I've come to tell you today that you are the next generation. Hebrews 4 begins with a therefore, and the first question you have to ask is, What's the therefore, therefore? The therefore is because the promise still stands. Salvation has come through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God. At one time, I chose to live in sin. My main goal was to satisfy myself. Quite a wretched soul. I saw no hope, helplessly hoping. Everything I touched fell short of the glory of God, wandering aimlessly in the desert. Christ came and he lifted me up and set me up upon the rock. And Paul writes, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And Christ calls to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take upon you my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't blame it on the seed. Examine the soil of your heart. A heart stuffed with anger, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, and self-pity. A heart filled with these doesn't give room for the Word of God. Without the Word of God, how will you ever hear the voice of God? I guess the question is, what do you pursue most? Christ died for all people. Salvation's freedom is for everyone who chooses it. So make every effort to enter that rest by choosing to depend solely upon God, trusting Him completely, standing firmly on His promises. We're either going to trust ourselves to save ourselves, or we're going to trust God to do that for us through the free grace of His salvation. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, so no one can boast. Choose God's rest. Choose to follow Jesus Christ. Choose to live by His word. Choose eternal life, and choose it all by faith. When I hear someone give their testimony, and I think to myself, "Lord, that's me. I know today is the day to make a decision. Now is the time to get serious about Christ and about the Bible. And I do it as if my life depends on it. I want to make every effort. I don't want to grow cold. I don't want to be persuaded to doubt because I'm not grounded in His word." It's important to listen to God's word, but yet it's more important to obey it and do what it says, James 1 and 22. We overcome by living it out. By creation, I seek physical rest. By redemption, I have spiritual rest. God's rest is heavenly. It's spiritual. It's eternal. The key to it all lays in placing my faith in His salvation. Faith qualifies us to enter into God's rest. Go deeper. Biblical faith, submissiveness to God, obedience to His word. Here in the Bible, we find the answers to all of life's questions. What's the effort? Setting apart time to come to Him. "For all those who seek me find me." A willing decision, done on purpose. He's not forcing anything on anyone. For now, He's holding the door open. Day by day, hour by hour, come to Him. We're running a race. We're at the risk of growing weary. We're at the risk of beginning to fall away. I want to overcome. I don't have the power, the stamina in myself or in my abilities to achieve the goal that my Lord has laid out for me. So in the morning, all day long, I rely on my Savior. I rest in Him, and He provides. Please pray with me. Gracious God, you ask, "Will you trust me? Will you obey me? We ask for the grace that we might do both. For Jesus' sake. Amen.